League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hi, everybody. It's Ryan Ballingy. Welcome to today's podcast. Today, our guest is Rick Oldak, who is the head of U.S. operations for Big Macs here in the United States. He runs a firm that does a variety of golf products for different brands, but we're focusing on Big Macs for this conversation to talk about their new lineup of golf bags. We also touch a little bit on their upcoming lineup of push carts slash trolleys, depending on where you're from, which he's very excited about. And lots more about building the brand of Big Macs here in the United States, as opposed to Europe, where it's the number one bag brand. So enjoy this conversation with Rick Oldak.
Rick, thanks so much for being with us. I appreciate it. Can you give us a kind of quick overview of the new bags that Big Macs has come out with recently and what they bring to the Big Macs line that maybe bags that already are out don't already bring, or what they've improved upon on existing bags?
Of course. So Big Macs is the European market leader in golf bags and also in push carts. So they have been at the forefront of developing new technologies in both of those different product areas. Our golf bags are really underpinned on being lightweight, very comfortable. So you can carry it, you can use it on a push cart or a riding cart. Our stands are now pretty universally all hybrid stands, so that when they fold up, they get out of the way. They don't interfere, so you're not banging the stand on the back of the cart if you're riding. The waterproof fabric that we use in all of our bags is consistent from both the Aqualine, which is our fully 100% waterproof product line, into the dry light line. We use the same fabric, so the material is 100% waterproof. The main difference is we heat seal the seams on the aqua bags. We only heat seal the seams on the valuables pouch on the dry light bags. So your valuables pouch is 100% waterproof. The cooler bag is fully insulated as well. So what we've tried to do is, you know, create a whole host of features that really golfers really want in their golf bags, but do it in a lightweight, waterproof sort of shell that keeps your clubs dry. And if you're in a torrential downpour, you're going to get wet. But if you're playing in light drizzle, our dry light bags are going to keep everything perfectly dry.
I've had the good fortune to play with a couple of different Big Mac bags, some carry, some kind of strap or cart style bags. I mean, and people have borrowed that, let people use them over the years if they were in a pinch or whatever. And they've always said how comfortable they are, how many features they have that they really like. How does Big Macs prioritize what features matter most and how do you kind of prioritize those in the real estate that you have that is a golf bag while trying to keep it, like you said, lightweight and comfortable?
Yeah. So it depends. We have cart bags and we have stand bags, right? So carry bags. So in our carry bags, weight is key. I think the lighter the weight, the more popular the golf bag is going to be. The comfort of the strap, the way the bag balances when it's filled with clubs is critically important. We also, we have 14-way dividers in our 9-inch tops so that the clubs don't bang together when you're carrying it on your back. It's a much more comfortable walk because the clubs aren't shifting against your back and creating a lot of pressure on your lower back. Our feather bag is a 5-way top that weighs 3.5 pounds, for example, but that's only a 7.5-inch top. Our new dry light plus hybrid plus is our newest bag. It just got into the U.S. I think we took our first delivery about 3 weeks ago. This is a bag that weighs about 4.5 pounds. It has 14-way divider. It has 8 pockets, so you have plenty of room for all your gear. And the styling is just amazing. It's a real European look. And I think that's really kind of young and vibrant. So I think our golf bags are really attractive, and they're functional, and they deliver on all the innovation that you could want.
What's kind of the distribution of people who buy Big Max bags in the U.S.? Are they mostly walking bags? Are they hybrid bags? Are they carpet? I mean, what's kind of the mixture?
Yeah, the U.S. is an interesting market because it's totally different from Europe, where 90% of the golfers walk.
Yeah.
Right. So we have tremendous push cart business ongoing in Europe. And our golf bags tend to be 50-50 between a stand bag and a cart bag. In the U.S., we're about 80% stand bag, even though a lot less golfers walk in the U.S., but they just like the convenience of the size of the stand bag is smaller than a cart bag. Also depends on if they, a lot of, like in Florida, a lot of golfers, they just drive their golf cart right into their garage. They never really take their bag off the cart. So we do a large cart bag business in certain markets like Phoenix and Florida. But for the rest of the market, it's really the majority of our bags are stand bags in some model.
It seems like people might prefer to have the option to ride, but they want the ability to walk if
absolutely
they so choose.
Yeah, which is why our stands are all hybrid stands, because, yep, we do understand that people are going to sometimes walk and sometimes ride. They don't want to change bags. So that's pretty much the underpinning of the design of the Big Max golf bag.
From you mentioned earlier the aesthetic, the kind of European style aesthetic. And I feel like every major manufacturer of golf bags kind of has their own viewpoint, whether they make it, especially clean, whether they kind of do a mixture of maybe American style and European style. Is there any American influence on Big Max's aesthetic, it being a European brand, or is it all kind of, hey, this is Big Max through and through. We're not going to modify it or maybe change how it appears to fit the American audience.
Yeah, we think we try to deliver an aesthetic that is universally going to be appealing to someone, right? We're not going to be appealing to everyone for sure. But if the lines are clean, all of our design elements are really minimalist, if you will.
Yeah.
So we don't kind of have a lot of different bells and whistles. We try not to make it, a canvas with a lot of different colorations. I mean, our colors are very traditional. And I think our golf bags are incredibly attractive and measure up to anyone else's out there. So, but I think it's a European aesthetic for sure. And it's appealing to a lot of people. Our bag business in the U.S. has been growing dramatically over the last couple of years. So we're starting to get some traction. We have robust direct-to-consumer business, both on our own website and on Amazon. We have had 4 bags in Costco for the last 3 years. We have new bags coming next week that are going to go into Costco as well. There are Dry Light Summit Tour, which is another model that we do specifically for them. And so we're getting some traction in the market, which I think is really important. We have tremendous competitors in the U.S. That have wonderful products, and they're very mature brands. So we're trying to very carefully build this brand, really one customer at a time. We have relationships with Dick's Sporting Goods, with PGA Tour Superstore, that we're starting to leverage, and we're starting to see some acceptance within those very prime retailers.
Really interesting to bring up Amazon and Costco too. I mean, both huge for different reasons, for visibility, for getting in front of customers, whether it's a brand people have known forever or just starting to get to know. How intentional has that been in driving market share in the United States? And how long did it kind of take to start to see the impact of that?
Well, it's taken years. It's taken years. To get the brand established, right? It's very difficult. It's tremendously costly to go into a market and traditionally try to develop the brand. And so we have done it really organically in a way. We've done a lot of social media. We've done a lot of PR. We're trying to get the brand established in a meaningful way without compromising on, you know, the things that we do. For example, we have MAP policies. We are a reliable vendor to our retailers. I think that developing on a direct-to-consumer basis is based on getting good reviews. So Amazon is clearly important because when you look at the reviews we're getting on Amazon, they're spectacular. And so that's a resource that American consumers really rely on is other people's reviews of these products. I know I do as a consumer. So that's been important. The Costco business is critically important to us in the sense that, you know, Costco, they deliver tremendous value to their members. And because it's a member environment, we're really comfortable having our products featured in that environment.
And I assume that the people, I'm trying to remember kind of the business marketing, you know, marketing class at business school, of having those people who kind of the first adopters of a new brand or a new concept, and then they kind of build out from there. You kind of tell two friends and they tell two friends, and that kind of starts to take hold over time, right?
Exactly. But it takes years, and it takes a tremendous amount of patience. Our parent company in Vienna has been incredible in you know, being patient with our ability to grow. We've been growing every year. We're not doubling the size of our company every year like some others, but we're growing steadily. And we're doing it on the basis of delivering extremely excellent product, very innovative designs, not only in our golf bags, but in our push carts. I mean, we're launching the new Trio in about 2 weeks. This Trio is going to get here. And again, we've had four models in flat fold technology in our carts. We started out with the AutoFold FF in 2014. We've won the Golf Digest Push Cart of the Year like five times over the last 9 years. But this Trio is incredible. It's a one button. It just folds up like an accordion and it lays flat. It's about 4.5 inches when it's flat. So you can actually put it on top of your golf bag in the trunk of your car. It's the coolest cart, really. It's just an amazing piece of design and technology. So weighs about 15 pounds, which is, you know, 5 or 6 pounds lighter than the other carts that are in the marketplace. It has awesome features. You know, I think it's just an amazing cart, and people should check it out.
And you guys have always designed carts and bags together, thinking about them holistically, thinking for bags to fit the carts and vice versa, of course. So I'm sure that as people become familiar with the bags, maybe they think, oh, well, I like a push cart. Well, they're going to think of you because they've got that bag already with your branding on it.
Ideally, that would happen.
Or vice versa, people who fall in love with the carts and then decide, okay, I need a new bag. I'm gonna go to Big Macs for that bag and make them work together.
Well, the bases of our bags are designed to slip onto our push carts. So we have a specific base design, but our bags also fit on other push carts as well. Ours, we just have a little bit of a sort of tongue and groove area on the base of our bags to fit precisely on the Big Macs push carts.
So going from there, is there a trick or a kind of a part of the delay? I mean, you've talked about kind of takes years to build a brand, and that's natural for anything, right? But as part of the delay that people take a long time to get a new bag, I mean, people kind of hold on to golf bags for, I don't know what the average length is, but I'm assuming at least a handful of years. So you have to catch people at their part of the cycle when they're ready to buy. Is that part of it?
Yeah, well, you know, it's sort of like having in the right place with the right product at the right time is exactly what we're always trying to do, right? So we just want our bags positioned in a way that the consumer can find us. We try to communicate through our various channels, our marketing channels. We do a lot of Facebook advertising, Google. We're driving our message out the best way we can. And then once the consumer, if they become interested, we have to be able to have them find us easily. and then communicate our message precisely in a very short period of time so that they see the differences. We feel like our products are unique, and it's they're sometimes too subtle to be able to see immediately. But when you look, if you really study and take a look at our products, and a discerning consumer will do that, we're going to hold our own in terms of being able to deliver against the competition.
Last question. It feels like the way golfers approach buying hard and soft goods, for that matter, has really kind of changed, definitely the last 15 years, but it feels like it's even been accelerated because of COVID. Where I was talking with somebody the other day, I don't think I'd buy a golf shirt at a pro shop unless it's a total happenstance. I tend to buy from brands well ahead of time that I've come to get to know, and they're direct to consumer. Has that also seemingly taken hold in that harder goods market of, all right, well, I want a golf bag. I don't need to go to a, no offense to anybody, any retailer that we've talked about before, but are there more consumers who are like, I'm just going to look this up online and go find them on Amazon or direct and go take care of it myself instead of having to go to a brick and mortar store?
Well, I think some of that happens, but these retailer relationships, they're critically important to the marketplace. And I rely on, I shop in golf stores as well as a consumer, and I like to go in and touch and feel things as well. I think the advantage that you have online is that you can tell a more robust story than you can by being in brick and mortar. Merchandising in a brick and mortar store is very expensive. There's space constraints. It's very difficult to get your message completely delivered in that environment. But you can get that message delivered online, and still that transaction could happen at brick and mortar. So, you know, it's just a matter of getting your story out and describing your product in a meaningful way so the consumer can see the differences. And so I think that we've tried to do that. We work hard on enhanced content, on video content, anything that helps us tell our story to the consumer and get them to appreciate, you know, the innovation that we're trying to deliver. That's really marketing 101 these days.
Well, Rick, hopefully we can help them on the journey here. Can you tell people where to go find Big Max online and kind of discover the brand for themselves?
Yeah, absolutely. us.bigmaxgolf.com is our website. You can also go to bigmaxgolf.com, which is our European entity website, but they have English and German on their website as well. So you can see, and I think our website really does a good job of describing our products. It shows all the features, all the options. So yes, I think bigmaxgolf.com, us.bigmaxgolf.com, both of those will work. You can see our products on Amazon. You'll see our four Summit Tour bags on Costco in a couple of weeks. And then we're on dickssportinggoods.com as well, and PGA Tour Superstore. So we have our message out there in as many places as we can get.
Well, Rick, thanks for taking the time to talk to us, talk to Big Max with us, and hopefully we can do it again soon. We'll talk about those Trio carts as well.
Absolutely. Look forward to it. Thank you, Ryan.
Thanks to Rick again for being on the show. I appreciate it. Hopefully we'll have that conversation again around the trolleys in the fall. But in the meantime, please consider subscribing to our show. You can subscribe through a variety of different methods to Green Shoots, The Bag Room, and GNN Radio Buttercuts. Take your pick. Green Shoots is about entrepreneurialism, kind of some parts of this conversation. Bag Room is strictly about equipment. And GNN Radio Buttercuts covers all of the great interviews that we air on GNN Radio. I'm Ryan Ballingy. We'll talk to you next time.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.